Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, how I need you. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. I Father, speak to us tonight. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Amen. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Like I said, the title of my message tonight is, You Must Grow. Turn to somebody and tell them, You Must Grow. Now, Christianity has various characteristics. Christianity has various characteristics. When I say characteristics, it means Christianity has different faces, different nature. There are several things that you can deduce or identify Christianity with. One of the things that, and the characteristics really is what should make you understand what Christianity really is about. Are you listening to me tonight? Is your attention here? Or you're going home already? You're here, okay. So, you need to know what Christianity is about. And knowing what Christianity is about is what will help you really check whether you are in Christianity or not. Are you with me? Now, when you meet somebody, you meet a guy, you meet a girl, you got to get to know them. Before you give them your, hey, before you give them your everything, you have to know who you are getting yourself involved with, isn't it? And it's so sad that sometimes we don't even know who we are getting ourselves involved with. Because we ourselves don't even know what we want. Right? So when you meet somebody, when you get into a job, when you are migrating, there are so many things that you will have to get to know about it before you really commit to it. So Christianity is not different. Christianity has those characteristics. Christianity has certain features about it that you need to understand. For those of us who say we are Christians, those of us who say that we want to follow God, those of us who say that we are sinners and Christ should come and live in our heart and we give our hearts to Him, you have to have a certain basic understanding of what Christianity is about. And therefore, if that is not seen in you, it means that you are not reflecting what you say you are part of. How many understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah, when you marry, there are responsibilities. And therefore, when you marry and you don't play those roles, then you are not showing, you are not proving that you are a married person. There are signs that you are part of things. So Christianity, one of the things about Christianity is that Christianity is a warfare. You have to understand that. That Christianity is a warfare. That is how come when a Christian makes a mistake, everybody talks about it. You think that, why shouldn't we? But you, the things you've been doing, who has been talking about that? Do you know how many of the politicians go to clubs with little girls and all of that? Do you know how many of them do that? Do you know how many of them do threesome and foursome and fivesome without recording? Do you know how many of them do that? Don't come and talk about morality. Christianity is a warfare. That is why it takes one bad news to bring down all churches and all pastors. And you look at it, that's how it works. Let one pastor be in trouble somewhere. And you see, you and I don't know that it is warfare. That's why somebody will be found in something. If it's not a fight, then nothing of that sort will happen. All of us will go, won't find any fault with anybody. Nobody will be wounded. Nobody will entertain casualties. Nobody will go through anything. Then everything will be smooth. In warfare, people get shot. In warfare, people get wounded. In warfare, people fall. People even die. People are killed. That is why people go to church. They don't go to church anymore. You ask yourself, you look at yourself and look at your friends and your family and the people you know. Those who say they used to go to church, they don't go to church anymore. Why? Because it is a fight. And if you don't find yourself fighting and fighting a good fight of faith, a time will come you'll be out. We started this church with people who are not here anymore. Because it's not just a normal thing we do. It's a fight. The devil, there's somebody called the enemy. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, that for we wrestle not with flesh and blood. There is nothing as difficult as fighting somebody you can't see. Your neighbor is the one who doesn't like you. You know him and you abuse him all the time. But this neighbor that we are fighting, we can't see the neighbor. Sometimes the neighbor comes into one of my Christian sisters and then try to do something bad to me. The moment you try to beat the Christian sister, then the enemy runs away. I don't know if you understand the warfare I'm talking about. Christianity is a warfare. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that what? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that is what people don't understand, that the wrestle, the fight between doing good and doing bad is not just normal. There's a fight, especially when you're a Christian, to do good or to do bad. There's a fight. It's not so easy. That's why the song is there. Holy Spirit, oh, how we need you. I have my opinion with whatever is going on. That people have taken it foolishly and saying all kinds of things. If you've not done anything wrong before, you should be the first person to say anything. One of the characteristics of Christianity is also that Christianity is a race. It's a race. Paul speaks in, I think, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says that I run therefore not as somebody without. Can you give me that scripture? He says, I run. You see, everybody who runs so that they will receive a prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I think verse 20 something. He said, I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly. It's like this running I'm running, it's not that I don't know why I'm running. He's a master. He said he knows why he's running. Do you know why you are in church? Do you know why you need a church? Do you know why you need God? Do you know why you must stay in church? Do you know why you need a pastor? Do you know why you must have a pastor? You see, this thing that happened recently, you don't even know the effect on even people like us. You see, if you don't take care, you don't even talk to any woman again. That's the kind of warfare. Because should you talk to a lady or should you call a lady or text a lady, it can easily be asked, hey. Because what I do normally, I talk to my church members. And my church is full of women. Yeah. I have people who work with me and most of them are women. So now how do I feel? Those who have husbands, those who have relatives, how are they going to see them? It's so confusing. It's so that you don't even have an understanding what has happened to the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't know if somebody's listening to me tonight. If I come and visit you in your house right now, your neighbor will wonder. Oh, is it pastor? Yeah, you gotta watch yourself, you know.
They are spoiling our work now. So those of you who help in making this case known and popular, you have no understanding of what is going on. You have no understanding of what is going on. The same thing that will help this country, which is the church, is the same thing that is being brought down and pulled down. No matter who you are as a pastor, you can be the best of pastors. But once a pastor goes down, all of the good ones also go down too. You think that just when, you know how many people have said things about me, even these last few days right here, because of what happened? When they don't even know who I am and what I do. It's fantastic. I was somewhere on the East Bank, and a guy selling cherry juice and other juice, mango and ginger. He came around. So I was there with some guys. And then he told me, they should buy cherry juice. Because cherry juice will make them, make the women impregnate the women. And he said, you should do it before somebody comes to do it for you. And he mentioned the person's. So look at some foolish thing that he's saying. What has this thing got to do with cherry juice? It sounds so funny and so trivial, but you don't know how sad it is. Yeah. Christianity is a warfare. It's also a race. The Bible says that since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and the weight. Hebrews 12, isn't it? Or Romans 12. One of them. The way that so easily entangles us. Right? Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Others are looking up to us, you know. There are others who are looking. They are looking at us. We can't see them. They are looking at how we are doing ours. Their time, they did what they could do. They are out. Now they are looking at us, what we will do. They are watching us. The Bible said we should lay aside every weight. There are certain things that are not sin, but their weight. It does not help you to run. You see, when people are running these days, they wear things that are tight. They don't even care what you see. That is not their problem. They just want something very thin that will not be affected by the wind. In Christianity, you have to run without weight. You can't live the Christian life with things on your head, things around you. You can't run. It's a race. Some friends are weights. Some jobs are weights. Some of the things we like in this life are weights. They may not be sin, but they are weights. You can't walk to church. You want a car or a taxi to church all the time. It's a weight. Because that will not help you to run. They say, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run. Father of life. Is that not a song like that? Draw me closer. Lord, my heart is set on you. Let me run the race of time. Hey, after all is said and done, what would you be recorded in the books of books as? What will be your reputation in the book that is lying down in heaven? How would you be known after you are dead and gone? How are you going to be known before the Father? Are you going to be known as somebody who came into this world and appreciated your life and did something good for the kingdom of God? Or your name will not even be found in the book. How would you be known as after you're dead and gone? Let us run. Christianity is a race. We are not running against ourselves. We are running against our own Christian faith. And therefore, the Christian race, you have to start well. You have to run well. You have to end well. You see, when you see Olympic Games, and it's what, 5,000 kilometers, 5-kilometer marathon and all of that, even though some people are the last, but they still finish. It's important you finish. If you don't finish, it's not good for you. It must be said that you participated in a race and you finished. If they say on your mark set and you rise up before the go sound, you are disqualified. That's it. You're out. It's the same thing. You have to start the Christian faith, the Christian race well. You have to run well. You can't be running the Christian race and collecting funds. As you are running, Usain Bolt is running. Then he stops in the middle. And then he says, Usain Bolt, he said, sing to me. Before you realize, everybody has finished. You must be focused whilst you are running. In another way, or in another characteristic, and that's what I want to speak about tonight, is that Christianity is also a growth. You grow in Christianity, you must grow. In the book of John, the Gospel according to St. John chapter 3 and verse 1. So one of the characteristics is also that Christianity is a growth. In Christianity, we grow. I say in Christianity, we grow. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. I said, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And he goes to verse 3, and then the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, I don't have time with you and your politics and your sweet words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, what you need to hear from me is not to have a discussion with you, a conversation with you. What you need to hear from me is the real thing every man needs to hear. And that is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you look at it. The kingdom of God that we need to see. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is in heaven. The kingdom of God that we need to see. God is in his kingdom. We need to be in the kingdom to be with God. But to be able to go there, the Bible says you need to be born again. So Christianity is a new birth. That's also another characteristic of Christianity. In Christianity, you don't polish over death. Death. P-O-D. You know, sometimes you don't bath, you just spray yourself and then you're gone. Christianity is not like that. You can't go to church and sing songs and give offering without being somebody who has Jesus in your heart. Christianity is a new birth. You cannot enter the kingdom. You see, the kingdom is not a political party where you support APNU. So when you die and you get to the gate, they say, oh, green color. Okay, come inside. It's not like that. The people who go to heaven are people who are born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in Christianity, we are all born again. We become new people. Now we become new people in a new world. Just like a baby comes out of the womb into a new world. Now if the baby comes out into a new world that we are living in and then decides not to grow, you'll be very disturbed. Yeah. All of you women who have had children before, if you're even those who have children, their children are old, but they don't behave like old people. It's still a problem to us. Not so? Yeah, you have a child, she's 18, she's 20, she's 14, 15, but still behaves like a child. Don't you get worried about that? Don't you complain about that? Don't you abuse them. So what is this? You talk about it. Because it is normal, it is natural that a human being who is born grows. If you don't grow, there is a problem. That's why you have to go and see a doctor. Oh, you have to go and drink some bush. You need some bush. Some Corilla bitters. Pastor Isa, where is Pastor Isa? You need some Corilla. Yeah. To clean you up from all the tapeworms. Even if you don't get, you know, even if you don't get, even you don't get a little fat or a little size, people think that there's something wrong with you. Yeah. It's true, yeah, people want you to, I mean, get this. No, there's something. You've been eating for 18 years of your life, and you're not getting any size. What happened? It's a source of concern.
Those of you who are very slim, we are worried about you. Are you not getting those size? All the food, you think about it. All the food you've been eating, check that with your weight and see. Well, there's something in your stomach that's eating the food that you're eating. Jiggy, you don't agree? No, at least for a few years in your life on earth, you must get some flesh. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, people say, but you. Now, people make comments. If you never grow, get size, people say, you're always like this. It's like it's a problem. But it's not a problem. Except that our minds, our natural instincts are connected to growth and increase in size. So when you become a Christian, you become a baby. And a baby must grow. I said a baby must grow. So if you look at all of us sitting down here, we are at least one of three stages in our Christian life. We are either babies or children or adults. Yeah. When you're a baby, it's very sad. It's sad because you are 30 years, but you behave like a child. When you're a baby, it's sad because even though you are 45 years old, in the church, your behavior, we don't understand how you behave. Your behavior is too insulting and annoying. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible says, as newborn babies. Who are the newborn babies? It's you and I. I got saved in 1989. Am I a child? Am I a baby? Am I still a baby? No. Am I a child? Am I an adult? Can you say I'm an adult? Okay, so you too. You must grow. Now, when you do seven great principles, principle number 5 says that after you are born again, your spirit is a baby, a newborn baby, and you must grow. It means that, and Bishop explains characteristics of children. Maybe I should mention one or two so that you understand. When you're a baby, you can't sit still. Do you know that you can't go to a serious meeting with a baby? That's why we have people at the back watching the children. Even as they are watching them, you should look there and see how many of them are misbehaving. My son was telling me that he's hungry. So I said, wait, when your mother comes, you talk to her. He said, no, when mommy comes, you'll be preaching. And then, he even knows when his mother comes to church. He said, and when you're preaching, then the teachers will not allow anybody to get up. So he wants to sort out his food problems now so that when he goes to sit down, he can allow himself to become an adult. So I had to bribe him with something small so that he can come and sit down quietly, and after church he can say whatever he wants to say. But that's what we are just trying to, even the physical, biological children, we are trying to help them to comport and to become a bit more, matured whilst the service is going on. My problem, and this is what the Lord told me about the church, that the problem of this church is that you are not growing. How long have you been serving God? Ask yourself. You are expected to grow, to increase, to go up, to move forward, to progress. Do not confuse your spiritual growth with your natural growth in the sense of, let's say, prosperity. Because you can grow, become an adult and become something and not prosper in life. It's not automatic that you prosper.
Who told you that there's a guarantee that you should prosper? What God wants is a relationship with you. That's what is important. And not really prosperity, because many prosper and they forget about God. So prosperity is not the main thing, but the relationship with God. So even though some of us will grow up, and that can be also the problem, right? Because we were born in homes and in environments that we don't see any major change in our lives. True or false? Yeah. You see, sometimes you need to give yourself a bit of exposure to grow. I don't know if you understand. Like sometimes, you have to give your child your phone to just play with. It's good. Let them learn how to use the phone. You, when you were growing up, there was no phone. That's why you struggled with using the phone. But they are growing in the era where there are phones. And you still want them to live like you in 1960, 1950 something. It can't be right. So sometimes our environments of the lack of progress gets to us. And therefore, it does not help us to understand that in Christianity, you must move forward. That a time must come that you should not struggle with fasting. A time must come that you should not struggle with reading your Bible. A time must come that you should not struggle in coming to church. It's like you, nobody tells me if I have to come to church. Nobody tells me when I have to come to church. Do you need somebody to tell you when you have to come to church? It's like you want to defecate and you don't know when you have to. Because you're a child. And children are like that. Children cannot control themselves, neither can they control their temper. When a child feels like wee-weeing, they just wee-wee. That's why we put diapers on them. Many Christians sitting down this tonight looking at me have diapers on in the spirit. Yeah. Huggies. Pampers. And as you are sitting down, it's even wet, so you have to change it. Now you have to understand that if you don't grow, you will not enjoy the Christian life. The Bible says that as newborn babies, you must desire the sincere milk of the word. The next phase will come to what you need to do to grow. That ye may grow, you may grow, you must grow, you may grow and must grow. A time should come that you should be able to teach somebody also. As I'm teaching you, you must grow to also teach somebody else. You must grow. Hallelujah. 2 Peter, I said, right? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Even love must grow. Isn't it? No, when you meet somebody, you love them. With time, the love must become stronger. The love must become unbreakable. The love must become unquenchable. The love must grow. Somebody said, I thought the love would have grown, but it didn't grow. Because you didn't water it. There's nothing that if you water it, it wouldn't grow. Yeah, there's no love that if you don't water it, it will grow. It never grow. But the Bible says, but grow. But grow. Somebody say, but grow. Yeah. Peter says, but grow. Give us verse 17. What does he say in verse 17? Is ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It means that the people who don't grow, they are people who fall. Miss Lee, they fall. Something small, they are down there. You say, me talking to you no more. No, you're a child. You can't say you won't talk to somebody. If there's a problem, you fix it. If it's a problem, you talk about it. But grow. Don't fall away from your steadfastness, but grow. If you plant a tree, you go and get a banana suckers. You call it banana suckers? You get a banana, baby banana. You bring it into your house, you plant it in your yard. And the baby banana never becomes a banana for you to enjoy. Some little construction we are doing on the side there. It was so sad for us to cut the bananas. Because they are bananas that, at least, by the grace of God, I get banana. Seasonally, I come and they cut the bunch and they give it to me. Banana is in the house. You use it, even people, rats come and eat some. When we're cutting the banana trees, we're very, very concerned. Why? Because it is something that had grown and it was beneficial. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When you grow and you are beneficial to God, He will not play with you. Should I say it again? When you become profitable to God, the devil cannot touch you. Yeah. You see, the devil plays with people who are not profitable to God. Because, you see, you think about it. Why should God do all that is in His power to protect you? What do you mean to Him? What do you mean to Him? Your bags that are expensive, don't you keep them separate from the ones that you buy from the Chinese shop? Ladies. Hello, ladies. Hello, ladies. The shoes that are very durable and expensive, don't you treat them different from the ones that... The things that are so dear to you, do you just lend them to people? No. Look at you. No. Because you don't want anybody to play with something that is so precious to you. In a similar way, God will not allow the devil to disturb a Christian who is so profitable. You see, we are deceived to think that every Christian is precious to God. It's not like that. It's not like that. If I have to die and you have to die, God will allow you to die, not me. The simple logic is that what I am doing for God, it is more useful to Him than you who is sitting down and just listening. So to make me feel sad, God would rather prefer that you were sad and I am not sad. That's why we get blessed and we get all kinds of things. And people get jealous also. Because God, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God, once you grow, He says, you did not choose me. I chose you. And I have ordained you that you go forth and bring forth fruit. And He said that your fruit will remain. The Bible says, any branch, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you bear fruit. He said, any branch that remains in me and does not bear fruit. So why would you sit in the church and not bear fruit? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. And the branch that bears fruit, what does He do? He cleans it, purges it, manicure and pedicure and face thing and nice. And he said, shine on. That's why if you're a good pastor here, God will increase your church. I tell you. If you're a good pastor, you will not struggle with people coming to your church. At all. You must grow. Say to yourself, I must grow. Yeah. You must always check how many years. You see, your birthday should not be important to you anymore than the day you gave your life to Christ. That should be your birthday now. And anytime you remember the day you gave your... And you must write the day you gave your life to Christ. You must know the month and the year at least. So that when the month and the year comes again, you should ask yourself, all these 2 years I've been serving the Lord, how has my life become? When you grow, you know that you can't defecate and sit right in it. You know that. I don't have to tell you. Pastor, is it okay to drink wine? I don't know. I don't have time to discuss those things. When you grow, you see, when you grow a little older, if the doctor doesn't tell you, you yourself will reduce the sugar you take. Nobody will tell you that. When you grow, your salt intake, you reduce it. You can't be drinking Cokes every day of your life. Cokes. You virgin. Cokes. A time will come, you say, no. Just water. Just please give me water. Just water. So you don't like juices? So no. I'm okay. Just water for me. Please, just a glass of water. Because for all the years you've lived your life, you are even afraid. When you grow, there are things you will not even do. If you're a man and you can't stay away from women, you just wait until you grow. You see a woman and you can't do anything. You see, it's growth. So the things you struggle with, it's not because God is not on your side. It's because you are a child. You are a baby. That's why you struggle. You struggle because you are a child. It's until we get into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When you get the fullness of Christ, beer, boyfriend, how can you have the fullness of Christ and have a boyfriend? You cannot have a boyfriend. You have a boyfriend because even a drop of Christ is not inside. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Children. No more children. It means that God does not like childrenness. Yeah. That the things that make us look children, God does not like childrenness. So he says that what he said before from 11 up to 13 will help us that we will move away from being children. If you miss church, you are a child. When the church started, the Bible said, and they met daily in the temple, not once a week, daily. You can't come to Tuesday service because you were working and you were tired. You're a baby. You are defecating on yourself when you're walking like that. You're a child. You can't come for prayer meeting. You're a baby. Fasting. Hey. No. I can't go on the fasting. No, I can't make it. No, fasting. Henceforth, be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You see, when you were a child, you moved to this church. And then you go to that program. They say there's some man of God has come here. Deliverance. First assembly, deliverance. You are going. You don't have any demons, but you're going. Because you're a child. One day somebody was telling me that, you know what? Pastor, I think I need deliverance. The last time I said something like that, a doctor drove me out of his office. I want to see a doctor. My mother, you see, a total wife, it's a very, very nice wife. My mother will know how to treat us when we are sick. No hospital. It has to be very serious before we are taken to the hospital. My mother will give you dose of things. Your sickness will go. You always had, my mother had something like a drugstore in the house. He'll give it to you, cry. So, I used to know when I'm getting malaria. I used to know that. So one day it was too much. I don't know where my mother was. I went to see a doctor. And when I went, I said, hi, what can I do for you? I said, I have malaria. The doctor said, okay, so go and help yourself. I didn't understand it. Now, if you know your problem, then just treat yourself. When you come to a pastor, don't talk about what you think you need. Speak about your problem. And be willing and open to take the advice from the scriptures. That's what you must be willing to take. Sometimes when we come to pastors, we have our own solution. Pastor, please pray for me. But maybe you don't need prayer. You just need to make a decision. Don't go to the doctor and say, I need injection. Do you know what is wrong with you to get injection? Why don't you go and buy a needle from the shop and then inject yourself? Why do you come to the doctor to waste the doctor's time? Yeah, physician, heal thyself. That we know more. God does not like childrenness. Babies must grow. He does not like childrenness. I see all childrenness disappearing from your life. I say all baby-like symptoms are disappearing from your life. You shall no more be children tossed to and fro. It means that when you have the spirit of a baby, if you are not matured enough, you are tossed. When you say we are tossed, it means that you are not stable. So, if I see Lady Pastor Abigail sitting down here, I must see her. Well, if she's a matured person, I must see her there all the time, every time I come here. I should even, if I come and I don't even open my eyes, I should, she's sitting right there. Because when you are a child, you are tossed. Shh, I don't feel like. I went to visit somebody in their church. I was invited to, I was a godmother for somebody. I'm not God, but I became a godmother to somebody. So, I went to the church to be a godmother. You're a child to be a godmother. You must be a godmother in this church right here. A tree that is planted and is mature doesn't move. A tree does not move. You see the green heart that they cut and bring it to town. It doesn't move from Madia to Lethem, from Lethem to, it doesn't move. When you are a child, I'm not coming on Sunday because I'm going to creek. I'm not coming on Sunday because I'm going out. I'm not coming because I didn't feel like this today. Because the whole week I didn't get a chance to do my laundry. No, you are a child. When you are tossed, something happens in the church. I ain't going. You're a child. You are tossed. Somebody and you not talking in the choir. I'm going to church. You are tossed. Pastor said something I didn't like. I ain't coming no more. You're a child. And you'll be surprised that people have been in church for years and they are still children. And that is what God wants to heal in our church. God, we have been here for 11 years. We should have pastors. We should have preachers. We should have more people getting involved in the work of God as mature people, not as babies, not as children. Last scripture, we are closing. Hebrews chapter 5. Ish. You know what I'm looking for, isn't it? Rebecca, you know the scripture I'm looking for. You should know. Hebrews, rather, 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Is it already? For when, for the time that you ought to be teachers. Hey, there's a time that you have to be a teacher. I said, there's a time that you have to be a teacher. Tell to the person sitting next to you, there's a time you must be a teacher. Say, I'm waiting for the time. I've been sitting next to you for years. I'm still waiting. Can you give me what? New Living Translation. Let me see what it says. Lizzo, I'm waiting. You have been Christians a long time now. You ought to be teaching others. So when Pastor Collins is trying to get you to teach others, you don't want to worry with me. So don't worry that man. He like troubling people. Me won't do nothing. Me, I don't want to play fronting. Where are the fronting people? Where's the fronting girl? Me won't play no fronting. You fronting? You must be glad that I am trying to get you to the point where you will not be seen as, why have you been so long a Christian? You are not doing anything. I'm trying to help you as a good pastor out of that state. When I got saved, 1 year after I got saved, I migrated. I was fully equipped to be doing praise and worship and to be teaching, be a Bible study teacher. Okra. I migrated. When I went to the church I joined when I went to Europe, the church was small. I was a Bible study teacher. I have today, there's a pastor in Germany who I taught the Bible. He's just not grateful to acknowledge me as a spiritual father at the point. How big he is in Dusseldorf, Germany. We break it into groups. I stand in front of the church. After 1 year, I was teaching the Bible. After 1 year. How many years have you been serving the Lord? You need mold. You need cow dung. You need mold. You have to put some mold in you. Is it mold we call it? You need, I don't know whether you have to drink it or we have to mash it in rice or something, give it to you, but you need some fertilizer. Look around and see if somebody around you needs fertilizer or not. Look around and see. Jomel, do you need fertilizer? Let me finish. So you have been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. I'm not saying it, Joanna. It's the Bible. Teaching others. Instead of teaching others, you need someone to teach you again. Instead of you praying for somebody, you are the one who is still coming to pastor for prayers. How many prayers do you need? You want to take all the prayers? The prayers will finish. I said the prayers will finish. You'll finish all the prayer. Leave some for somebody also. Abba, think about others. When you eat, leave some. Prayer, every day prayer. As long as you are praying for people, you are there. Hey, why don't you also develop yourself to pray for others?
you need someone to teach you again the basic things a beginner must learn about the scriptures. You are like babies. Oh, who drink only milk and cannot eat solid food. Tribe. Give me 13. Let me close. And a person who is living on milk isn't very far along in the Christian life. He's not far along at all. And doesn't know much about what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature. You see, sometimes I may say something as I'm preaching and you tend to disagree with me. It's not because what I'm saying is not true. You can't take solid food. It's you who can't take solid food. Yeah. It's only, the solidest food you can take is porridge. If I try some plantain now, I have killed you. You've choked. You're gone. Charmaine, are you there? Are you listening? You're listening. It's true. If I take you through, now if I say I'm going to close at 11 o'clock, we'll see how many of you will be uncomfortable. It's because you're a baby. When I say, come, let's pray from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Any of you who don't turn up, you are a baby. That's why I'm trying to train you, trying to make you grow, become strong. That when you grow in your own house, you can wake up at 10 and say, you know what? 10 to 2, I've done it for 3 years. Why should it be difficult for me to wake up from 10 and pray till 2 in my own house? I should be able to do it. I should be able to do it. Why should you not? After I've trained you like that, why can you not stay in your own house and pray from 10 to 2 Friday night? Friday night, if there's no meeting, you are sitting down. You're calling people. Where are we going? Which place? Which is the top club around here now? Friday night, no meeting. After teaching you how to pray from 10 to 2, Friday night you are looking for a place to go? Hey. You see, when you put a mature person to sit down somewhere and say, I'm coming, give me 10 minutes. Sit down. Oh, yes. When you put a child to sit down to wait for 5 minutes. When you turn on, hey, I said, sit down. You hear what I tell you? I said, hey. Don't move. Come here. If you move, we'll see what I'm going to do to you. I'll come here. I'm going to ring a box in you, you know. My time is up. Stand to your feet tonight. Hallelujah. I see rain falling upon us. I see growth in the church. People able to chew solid food. People are moving away from milk. I see you moving away from drinking of milk and porridge into cracking and breaking bones in your mouth. Father, thank you for the seed sown. Thank you for the seed sown, oh God. The seeds of growth. Good souls have received this word. And I declare and I prophesy that this church is increasing in growth. That the individual Christians are increasing in the knowledge. They are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that you have what you need in this farm to prepare the meals you need to prepare. Thank you for everyone who came tonight. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, you're here tonight. It all starts with salvation. It all starts with opening your heart and inviting Jesus Christ. It all starts with saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. It all starts like that. Pastor, please. Tonight, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again tonight. I want to see the kingdom of heaven like Jesus told Nicodemus. Pastor, please. Please pray with me. I want to change. I want Jesus. I need more of Jesus. If you're here like that, lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. Pastor, please. I want to be born again. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. If you're here like that, if you know that if you die right now, you will not go to heaven. Don't leave this service tonight without making a decision. Your right hand up high above your head. I'll pray with you. God bless you. I see that hand. Be bold and lift up your hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see a few people all across the building. Wonderful. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to please get out from your seat and come to me. I want to pray for you. Come, sir. Come, gentlemen. Come. Clap for them and let a song flow as they come to Jesus tonight. Come on. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Jesus is calling you. Come into Jesus. Come to Jesus tonight. God bless you. God bless you right here. Wow. God bless you. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. The power of His love. And everything was done. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Come to the Father. Come to the Father. You want to join them? It's not too late. Come tonight. And though your gift is small, oh, broken heart, broken life. Thank you, Jesus. The power of the word. The power of His love. And everything was done so you will come. Oh, I'm so excited you are here. It's a very important decision you're making. Now, what is going to happen to you tonight is going to usher you out of the womb. The devil is going to release you. Say, hey, I can't handle him anymore. Go into the kingdom of God. Now, then once you enter the kingdom of God, you must grow. What's your name? Lorenzo. You need to be stable. All right. Next week, come. I will teach you how you must be stable. Okay. Lorenzo, what's your name, sir? Kareem. Kareem. Sounds foreign. How old are you? How old are you? You're 16. Kareem. Wow. Sir, what's your name, sir? Sean. Sean. And you are? Anthony. Wow. Close your eyes with me, church. Let's pray this prayer together with them. Pray this prayer from the bottom of your heart. Your life will change forever. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to live in my heart, to make my heart His home. I believe it has happened. Just as I have prayed, Jesus is in my heart right now. Thank you, Father, that by this prayer, I am born again. I have eternal life. My name is written in the book of life, and I am a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.